DW Africa Link.
In 2017, Adama Barrow was acclaimed by Gambians as the leader who would turn the page on two decades of authoritarian rule under Yahya Jammeh. He promised democracy, term limits, and a break from the past. But today, Barrow's latest announcement that he will run for a third term has left many reeling with questions. What does this mean for the country's future? Stay with us as we unpack this and consider the potential impact on the lives of ordinary Gambians and the country's democracy. My name is Mimi Mefoneu and welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
For many Gambians, the prospect of a Barrow third term raises an unsettling question. Are they witnessing history repeat itself? Jammeh too started as a leader, promising change only to cling to power for 22 years. The key question is whether Barrow could be walking the same path, or is this simply the normal evolution of politics in a young democracy? With many fearing that he might be following in his predecessor's footsteps, and recent talks of Jammeh returning, the political atmosphere has become tense in the Gambia. With growing public debate and political tensions rising, many Gambians fear that this could pose a serious threat to the country's democratic progress. Joining me today is Honorable Dengen Job. She is Deputy Speaker of the National Youth Parliament in the Gambia. She doubles as Senior Advocacy Officer at the Center for Research and Policy Development. We also have DW's correspondent, Sankule Janko, in Banjul, the capital of the Gambia. Hello to you both, and thank you for joining us today. We'll begin with you, Janko. Can you tell us about this news of President Barrow wanting to run in the next election? What has been the reaction so far across the country?
I mean, the news of President Barrow's, of course, confirming that he will run for third term overall, I can tell you that many Gambians were not happy for the reason that he gave as to why he wants to go for a third. People pro-government, the NPP, that's National People's Party supporters, will tell you, well, many of them will tell them, we welcome this news. It's a good news for us because our, you know, party leader wants to run for a third term. But ordinary Gambians, and particularly the independent-minded people, they were really not happy. I spoke to some Gambians in the streets of Banjul, and they were really, really not happy with the news, particularly the reasons that he gave as to why he wants to be for the third term.
Do we know why he decided to run again? What do you think triggered this desire to be president for a third term?
The only reason that he is going for a third term is because he does not want his National People's Party, NPP, to die prematurely. He's of the view that if he steps down, the party will die. And he's also, in the interview, he also said that majority of his party executive and the entire party membership agreed that it was not time for him to step down as of now. He should continue. Because once he stepped down, according to what he said, that the party members feel once he stepped down, the party will not survive without him being the leader of the party.
Thank you, Janko, for setting the pace. I would want to ask Honorable Dengen, the coming of Adama Barrow to power ushered in that hope for democracy in the Gambia after having Yahya Jammeh for more than 20 years. What is your reaction after hearing that Adama Barrow himself would want to stay again for another term in office?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mimi, and Sankuleng for having me on this podcast. I'm happy to be here. And myself, I received that information with let me say, disappointment, of course, as a Gambian, for a lot of reasons. Because I can remember sometime last year, Sankuleng invited me to a program for us to talk about the presidential retirement bill. I don't know whether you can remember, Sankuleng. And for me personally, I was in support of the retirement bill because for me it was an encouragement for us not to repeat history with what happened with President Jawara and President Jammeh. It was sort of an assurance from the Gambian side that you have something to hold on to as a president when you leave power. I have been waiting on this moment in Gambia's political history to arrive, because I had always thought when it comes, President Barrow will do the right thing and leave on his second term. And that would have been great, because he would have set a precedent in our political history. He's a third president, and we have never had a president that leaves on his second term. So it would have been a legacy, and he would have set a precedent in Gambia's democratic history, which I think it was very important for him to do.
And I'm wondering, if he carries on with this decision, what could be the potential impact on Gambia's democracy?
It will be sort of, he would set a continuity on our pattern of presidential state in the Gambia, because yes, President Jawara stayed for 3 decades, President James stayed for almost 3 decades, and here we have President Barrow, who we had thought he would change the tides of history, also wanting to stay for 3 terms. Who knows, if we don't have laws in place that will prevent him, he might stay another term. So what we're seeing is a pattern of political continuity with our presidents, and that is he is not using the opportunity to break that chain in our political history, which he had the opportunity to do.
So Janko, as our ears and eyes on the ground, what are opposition party leaders saying about this?
As you would expect, I mean, they just took the opportunity, of course, to fire as much as they can. And they're saying that, well, Gambians should not be surprised, because this is the man who promised that after a 3-year transition following the defeating Yahya Jammeh in the 2016 presidential elections, he was going to step down and organize elections, but he didn't do that. So for most politicians, they are not surprised. At the same time, they accuse him of, in fact, this being the real reason why the 2020 draft constitution failed to go through. Remember, that constitution, the draft 2020 constitution, has a retroactive clause, which would have prevented President Barrow from opting for a third term. And members of his political party, of course, opted to vote against that draft constitution. So politicians are saying that, well, Gambians should now wake up and realize that we have a person who promised democracy and rule of law, but now he's opting, he's power hungry, and that's how some of them are even describing him at the moment.
Honorable Dengen, we've just heard from Janko, who says that there's the constitution, and of course the law permits Adama Barrow to stand again if he wants to run for a third term. Should we blame the laws in place, or should we blame the president?
It's two ways. This is two ways, Mami. So one, we have to blame our laws, because since we started our reforms as a country, we have not been able to agree on changing our constitution. We tried in 2020, it fails, and we have a draft bill in parliament currently that passed first reading, and we don't know the fate of it, because people are not consulted during its drafting and also presentation in parliament. So on one side, the laws are to be blamed. But on another side, always for me as a political science student, I will always want to go back to the train of history. In 2017, when President Barrow was elected, as a country, being the political leaders or the people, we have a consensus that we are going to change this country. Not only when it comes to its political institutions and our laws, but we are going to change our political behavior as people. And that, when we talk about that, we talk about our political values and also our political norms and also our belief systems. We agreed we are going to do that as a country. And fast forward 10 years down the line, if we have a president that is not stepping down because the law says so, in 2017, you promised us that, you know, we are going to have better behaviors when it comes to our political system, better laws. If unfortunately we did not change the laws, we expected that best moral behavior would have encouraged the president to step down. But like Sankun said, if you have agreed with your comrades to step down in 3 years and that had failed, and we do not expect really that person to honor a term limit where it does not exist. Again, this is not entirely also to say it is President Barrow to be blamed. We had 8 years down the line, it was political leaders of this country that had backed Adama Barrow, President Adama Barrow, to distort, to break this agreement that he had with the Gambians, because when it was 3 years and the Gambians said, President Barrow, it's 3 years to step down, it was other political leaders that backed him to say the law did not say so, so he is staying, and anybody that mentioned it, well, you know, will be tried in court and will be sent to prison. So if we had passed that, if President Barrow had successfully passed that, he would use the same yardstick to say the law did not say so and I can do it and nothing comes out of it. So you have both these two things to blame. You have occurrences in our history that set precedents to be blamed, but also you have also our laws to be blamed. But honestly, I think this was the best time for President Adama Barrow to set precedents in our political history. Leave to ensure that he will be the first president to step down in the Gambia after a second term, so that we will be able to have a new narrative, a new image of our democracy.
I'll stay with you, Your Honorable, just to ask, when you look at countries like Equatorial Guinea with the leaders that have been in power for several decades. We also see the situation of Cameroon. Paul Biya, who will be 92 this year, has been in power for more than 40 years. It's been replicated in other parts of Africa. When you ask the president of Equatorial Guinea and some of those supporting Paul Biya of Cameroon, they will tell you that these are leaders that have been doing a lot for their country, in quote, even though we have a lot of dissenting voices and people not happy about them being there almost forever. What I wanted to ask you is the issue with Adama Barrow, his leadership, his governance, or the problem is that the people do not want him at all?
The issue is about our democracy, because you looked at it. If we want to use the same precedent that we're using for other overstaying African leaders, I am not justifying in any ways the doings of Jammeh and anybody and anything. But if we were to use the same analogy, Jammeh was the first president in the Gambia to bring university education in this country, to actually, and so we have a national TV, and so we have a national radio. And it was Jammeh that, you know, built schools and hospitals across communities to ensure that people have access to education, the girl child have access to education, more than we have 30 years after independence. In as much as, you know, with all the atrocities done by Jammeh, in the early years of his ruling, he did a lot of development for the Gambia. But it's not a justification enough. For us, it's about our democracy. It's about human rights. And we already, as Gambians, we have the fear that the longer a leader stays and the more powers he accumulates, the more implication it will have on our democracy and also on our human rights records. And that's the fear of Gambians. It's not about what Barrow did or what Barrow did not. It's about our democracy that we want to reshape, that we want to give a new form and image to ensure that, you know, it suits generations to come.
So, Janko, I want to come back to you. Hearing from Honorable Dengen, we can see that the general sentiments amongst the Gambian is that they do not want the president to stand again. It doesn't matter whether he's been able to achieve some economic, political, and social goals in the country. Democracy is what the people worry about. Do you think that these sentiments can push President Barrow to change his mind?
I think, first of all, one thing I would like to say is that Gambian people, you know, Gambians are sometimes, someone told me that Gambians are very easy to manipulate. I mean, but one thing President Barrow said that really, really did not go down well with so many people is the manner in which, or the reason he gave for wanting to bid for a third term. For so many Gambians, they were saying, okay, if the president had said, well, I want to continue with some of the projects I started and then I go, they would have said, okay, maybe you should give him an opportunity. But for the fact that he said, I don't want to leave because if I leave, my party will die, that did not really go down well for so many people. And this, I'm afraid to say, could really, really trigger, you know, protests here and there calling for him to step down here and there. But one thing I'll have to give President Barrow, though, I'll have to give him one respect, and that is he listens to the people. We've seen a number of times in the Gambia wherein once there is decent people, I mean, go against a particular decision, in many a times, he will rescind those decisions. To be honest, I'll have to give him credit for that. And so many people also are hoping this time around, this public dissent to say, no, we don't want you to go for a third term. We want you to step down, even though yourself personally, you think this is the right time. They are hoping that he would listen to, I mean, their thoughts and even their voices. I'm not sure whether he would decide to resign, but I do know that he listens to, you know, the public outcries. So hopefully this will be one of those incidences where he would listen to what people are to say. And
probably when he was listening to the people in the Gambia, the scenario was kind of different. Honorable Dengen, what I wanted to find out, based on what Janko just said, do you see the president listening to you and other people in the Gambia?
We have 2 years elections, roughly. And that is because we'll be having elections December of next year. So there's still a little time, not much, a little. And I will not be surprised if President Barrow, you know, wakes up and decided that, you know, he's going to step down and usher in a new deal. Like Janko said, many times when Gambians cry about a certain decisions, he reconsiders and come back. This is not like any other administrative decision. This is about politics. It's about authority. It's about power. And President Barrow's fear about his party act is very genuine. Because if he brings forth, because the party is as young as President Barrow's government. So if he brings in another person that the people has not seen out there in the public having something to offer, will the people trust that person enough to still vote for the party? And that is the question. And that worry is genuine enough when you look at the political, the party aspect of it. And for that reason, I think I am very skeptical if President Barrow will go back on his.
And do we have any viable opposition to him in the next election? If you were to look across the country, do you see someone fit enough to wear the shoes of President Barrow?
But first, within his political party, because if you look at the pattern, we never had a president that was really out there in public positions, in the public service, to, you know, who manifested to people what he has to offer. You looked at, President Jawara, who was a veteran and being encouraged to lead the independence struggle and coming to be a prime minister and then a president. You looked at President Jammeh, that was a military, and then the true coup, and who was later engaged by elders, you know, to turn to a civilian and vie for president. President Adama Barrow, who some people would call the accidental president, who Gambians voted for because we wanted Jammeh out. So all of them at the point were not working in key government positions that really that accumulated their track record for people to trust them enough for this position. We might have the same thing. You know, another leader might emerge from NPP who, yes, do not have much to offer when it comes to his track record in servicing. But then with the backing of the president and his party, he is able to fight and win for presidency. But also, yes, we get other political candidates. We get the UDP, which is one of the biggest opposition party in the Gambia, and any candidate they back and with proper political strategy, you're able to win. We have Esam Baifal, who you must know, and also, you know, declaring his interest to provide for the position of a president, and other women that you will see coming up these elections who have really did what the public spare. So yes, there are candidates who could potentially fill the position in case His Excellency steps down.
And why not you?
Okay, Mimi. In our constitution, one cannot be a presidential candidate if you are not 30 years of age.
Oh, so that disqualifies you. But then you still have time to prepare, who knows, in the coming years.
No. A lot of time when I'm on air, I have journalists asking questions. I think it's best if you live in a country like the Gambia to tiptoe until you get there.
So, Janko, do the people in the Gambia have a picture of the kind of leader they want after President Barrow?
I would say yes. I mean, Gambians have had a picture of the kind of leader they would want for a very long time. I think overall, if you ask so many people, they'll tell you Gambia just, the country has just not been very lucky with the type of leader they picture in their heads, you know, overall. So many people will tell you, in fact, Gambia is a very small country. In fact, by land size, it's the smallest country by land size. So for so many Gambians, they just want a leader, a visionary leader, you know, a leader who would, you know, help to, you know, transform this country infrastructure in terms of infrastructure, in terms of living standards. You know, the unemployment among the youth is mind-boggling. It's really, really, really not encouraging. You know, the dollar, for example, keeps depreciating all the time. There was a time when the Gambia's dollar was the best, one of the best in the continent, but it keeps depreciating against the dollar, against the US dollar, against the CFA francs. You know, the economy is the same thing. The tourism sector, the Gambia was so proud of the tourism sector, but again, the tourism is dwindling down, it's going down, you know. And we are talking about the health sector. There were times when Senegalese were like, well, you know, storm into Gambian hospitals, but now it's the other way around. You see Gambians going into Senegal for most of these, you know, advanced medical, you know, treatments here and there. So these are some of the things that Gambians, they want a leader who would, you know, improve these things, the economy, the living standard, the employment, particularly among the youth. So these are some of the things that Gambians really are looking forward to, a leader that would revive, you know, their lives, that will give them a meaningful, you know, a meaningful living standard. But as it is, I don't know, they can say there are so many people, but as of now, for me, I don't think I've seen that particular person as we speak this.
Thank you for being honest. And to ask the last question goes to Honorable Dengen. What are some of the reforms that can be put in place to protect and safeguard Gambia's democracy?
I think, Mimi, thank you very much. I think we have a one-way ticket, and that is we have the draft constitution before the parliament. Unfortunately, it comes not in the very way that Gambians wanted it, but I think we still have an opportunity to really have a constitution that speaks of Gambia's values, that speaks of Gambia's aspirations to put before parliament pass and ensure that we have the issues of term limit, we have issues of balance of power, we have issues of human rights, and also, you know, gender representation in the constitution addressed once and for all. And it is only when we do this that we are able to really holistically resolve all these issues when it comes to term limit and other issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. Alassane Ouattara was first elected president of Ivory Coast in 2010 following a violent post-election crisis that left thousands dead. After surviving his two terms, he initially announced in 2020 that he will step down to pave the way for a peaceful democratic transition. However, the sudden death of his chosen successor, Prime Minister Amadou Gon Coulibaly, led Ouattara to reverse course and declare his candidacy for a third term. This decision led to widespread protests, violent clashes, and a political crisis that left dozens dead. Despite the backlash, Ouattara won the election with over 94% of the vote amid an opposition boycott. This third term set a dangerous precedent, raising concerns about democratic backsliding in West Africa. Many now fear that this move may have emboldened others like Adama Barrow in the Gambia to even extend their rule by using legal technicalities rather than respecting the spirit of democracy. For a region that has seen many military coups, the question on the minds of citizens will be whether there is a difference between unconstitutional third terms and military takeovers. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a vital part of our community, and your engagement is crucial in shaping the direction of our discussions. We highly value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Your participation is what makes this podcast a dynamic platform for discussing African politics and current events. Remember to follow so that you can catch all the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Mimi Mefunewu. Thank you for listening, and until next time, it's a wrap for now.
DW, made for minds.